is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
A Moon Race. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang joins me, and we're very pleased to welcome Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center, writing most recently a geostrategy direct of a new moon race, a 21st century moon race, quite distinct from the moon race announced by John F. Kennedy in 1961 when he took the White House. This is a moon race between the U.S. and its allies and the People's Republic of China. What is the prize? Rick, a very good evening to you. I was unaware of the moon race until the director, the administrator of NASA, Senator Nelson, said there's a moon race. How have the Chinese responded to this competition? Good evening to you, Rick.
Good evening, John. Yes, we are in a second moon race. This time, it's for keeps. Whoever gets to the moon with the mostest gets to keep the moon. And the United States is lagging. In the first moon race, we were ahead. The Russians, the Soviet Union, made a real attempt to put one person on the moon, but its N-1 space launch vehicle failed spectacularly twice. And so the United States ended up winning that race, putting 12 people on the moon, and then we walked away. We just let it be. We didn't have a strategy for going back and gaining any real benefit. China has both geostrategic and economic reasons for going to the moon. And it's very curious that when the Obama administration ended the Bush administration's Constellation program to go to the moon back in, I believe that was 2010, very quickly afterwards, we begin to hear about China's large Saturn V size space launch vehicle that was later revealed to be the Long March 9. Now, I believe it was in November of 2020, John, there was a curious article that came out in China Daily, which stated that China is ready to produce 10 of its Long March 9s a year. This is an SLV that can put 50 tons in translunar injection, 50 tons to the moon. 10 of these a year, 60 by 2035. That was the clear implication, conclusion you could draw from that article. Now, we learned just about 2 weeks ago from space journalist Brian Berger at Ars Technica, who was revealing leaked NASA planning documents, that by 2034, the United States may only produce about 11 of its new space launch system, a 50-ton to the moon space launch vehicle, and that we won't have a habitat on the moon until 2034. So by 2030, the Chinese could be blitzing the moon, but the United States may just be strolling on the moon. That's how the race looks from this observer right now. Now, we could change this if we go full bore with Elon Musk's Starship. Allow that Starship, enable the Starship to make round trips. Starship can carry 100 tons to the moon, and it's reusable. So it's going to be efficient, cheaper. With Starship, we're back in the race, maybe even leading the race.
So, Gordon, it is SpaceX Tortoise versus the Dragon. You have a question for Rick.
Rick, Chinese space officials have talked about the moon and Mars as sovereign Chinese territory and how China should exclude others from going to those heavenly bodies if they get there first and are able to establish the means to prohibit others. This has really been, of course, something that the Chinese have downplayed since these initial comments in 2018. But do you think that China still has that ambition to exclude others?
Absolutely, Gordon. The Chinese Communist Party requires control of the Earth-Moon system in order to achieve its ambitions for hegemony on Earth. It can't allow the United States or other powerful opponents of Chinese hegemony to dig their way out, literally dig their way out of that hegemony by mining the moon or mining Mars. The Chinese understand this, and that's why when we all get to the moon, we all have to be ready to defend ourselves. Now, getting to the moon, are now 21 Artemis Accord members. Perhaps we can establish a precedent for peacefully exploring and exploiting the resources on the moon. However, China and its partner Russia are attacking everybody on Earth. So we have to be ready for them to be attacking everybody on the moon as well.
So the puzzle here comes down to lift. Long March 9, to my understanding, that does not exist. Long March 5 does, and every time they use it to assemble their space station, they drop it somewhere on Earth. They're not careful boosters. All right, so Long March 9, what do we know about it? I understand they have a plan, but do they have a booster?
It has not yet been completed, John, but we have been able to observe parts of the Long March 9 revealed on Chinese web pages for several years. It will be a 10-meter diameter SLV. And about a year ago, a prominent Chinese space engineer, Long Lehao, revealed that Long March 9 is going to be developed to compete with Starship. It is going to be developed with a reusable first stage that will significantly cut the cost for China to use Long March 9, and the race will be tighter in the mid to later 2030s.
So what we're looking at then is China competing straight up with SpaceX, never mind NASA. Is that it?
Yes, John. And already the Chinese have, the reusable Long March 9 will actually be their third moon-capable space launch vehicle. The first one will be based on Long March 5.
Right.
And they will use a two-launcher configuration to take people to the moon orbit and then a moon landing vehicle. But Long March 9 is going to be the big deal.
Rick, Bill Nelson, the NASA administrator, when he talks about China, has always discussed cooperation with the Chinese space exploration efforts. Now he's talking about China in darker terms. Is the Biden administration prepared to compete with China in space and specifically with regard to the moon?
Gordon, no, they are not. I don't think they understand the mass that the Chinese are prepared to literally throw at the moon to gain the dominant presence. And they are not yet reconfiguring the Artemis moon program to fully exploit the advantages of Starship.
The space station that's up there now, what is its status, Rick? I'm just checking in. Is it a military operation? We have 30 seconds.
Absolutely not, John. It is a civilian, and we don't know how long it will survive. The Chinese space station is controlled by the Chinese military, and in my estimation, it will be dual use. It will be used for military combat.
All right. ISS is not military. I understand that. But the Chinese capability is to make theirs a military platform, showing intentionality that is quite at odds with the space conduct of other nations. Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.